All right, cool. Thanks, Kim. You filled us right out here. Yeah. And Jessica, that was such a cool testimony. Thank you for sharing that. Anytime you got something like that, you let us know, okay? Nice. All right. With that, let's go ahead and start our service. I invited Nate Wheeler to come up. It's always a privilege to have Nate come. He's part of Shiloh. He's a pastor there with that church, and he's on the rotation as one of their teachers. You know, they kind of rotate. Some of you like that idea, would love to get rid of me more often. No, but just kidding. But I invited Nate. Anytime my heart says, you know what, there's something there, then I respond, I reach out, and then we just set a date and he comes. And so, you know, you've got just a couple, maybe once or twice, so I can't make it sound like we've got this long history, but I feel like we do. So come on up, Nate, and I'll start the prayer. I'll just just pray over you, but feel free if you want to pray further for the service or whatever, and then I'll get out of your way. But Lord, I just thank you for my brother. I thank you for his heart, Lord, that he's such a kingdom guy, that he loves to build your kingdom, Jesus, that, Lord, he's so humble. He just comes whenever he's invited, and that he says yes to you both in and out of church. And so, God, I pray that your spirit will just rest on him, speak to him, cause his heart to burn with the things that you would like to share with this body. Father, we open up our hearts and we say, yes, Jesus, speak. Lord, let us be transformed. Let us be more passionately ignited with love for you. Whatever happens, God, let us walk out of here looking more like you, we pray. And God, I just look forward to what's going to happen next. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Maybe I'll sit here. I need more leg room. I'm going to block this off. Yeah, no one can tackle me that way. Well, good morning, church. I am honored to be here. I love when I get the opportunity to come visit with different bodies of believers, because the reality is we are all one body, right? We're all in Christ Jesus, and we are one body, and that means that when I visit other churches, it's like, you know, seeing relatives on Christmas, right? And sometimes when you see relatives on Christmas, you're really, really happy that they came, and then you're really glad that they leave. So we'll see how you feel about me after the end of the day. Connected to the cross. Man, I wrestled over this message with God just in my office, and if you could be there, it looks silly sometimes because I get verbal with God and I have to pace. Sometimes, you know, you have to shadow box at him a little bit. But I wrestled over this message with God because I truly, when I preach, I want to know what is the Father's heart for his people, right? What does God want to say? Because what I want to say is irrelevant to the situation, because I'll always talk about firearms or plowing or things that I like to do, right? And you guys could care less about those things most of the time. But what does the Father want to say to his church? And that's really the emphasis that I want you to hear today is God really profoundly shook me over this message. The cross is such an important part to our faith, right? The empty cross holds power in our life. The cross itself is nothing, it's just wooden nails. But the fact that it's empty allows us to connect to something so much bigger than ourselves. There's power there that we don't understand, that we cannot even begin to fathom. But because of the cross, we can go to verses like Matthew 11, 28 through 30, which says this, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light." See, it's because of the cross and the connectivity that the cross brings to the Christian life and the sacrifice that Jesus paid through his death and resurrection that we can, turn to the Word of God, and that we can claim verses like these, that we can step into them and the promises of them. And how often as Christians do we feel heartache or hurt or have a problem that we're going through, and we go and we find these scriptures and we look at these scriptures and go, what can we draw from this? Right? Will we lean on them during the hard times? Or James 1:5, "But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Right? We as Christians, because of the cross, look to these verses Often. We run to them, we cling to them. When things don't make sense, we ask God to reveal himself. When we have hard decisions to face, we ask for wisdom. Often we do that, and it's because of the cross that we can do that. It's because of the cross that in Acts 1, 4 through 8, it says this. Jesus, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You have heard from me, from John the Baptist, baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they began asking him, saying, "Lord, is this the time that you are restoring the kingdom of Israel?" But he said to them, "It is not for you to know the periods of time or appointed times which the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and as far as the..." Wow. "And as far as the remotest parts of the earth." I'm going to pause, hard pause. When you grow up learning everything in King James, and then as a speaker you're trying to read NASB, it goes poorly for you, okay? All right. God calls us as his witnesses, and that we shall receive his power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We go to these verses as Christians when we want power. And it's not that maybe power will be bestowed upon us, not sometimes power will be given to us, but that we shall walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we shall be his witnesses until the end of the earth. You know, in movies, when like somebody sets up the plot, right? Oh, this great thing's going to happen. This is awesome. This is really, really, really good. And then somebody's like, "Oh, really? What happened?" "Oh, nothing." So that's kind of A, what God did to me, and B, what I'm going to do to you. So what drove me to tears over this message, and I'm not joking, literal weeping in my office. It's quiet. I have to wait till my kids go to bed, right? Five children, and you'd think you have a separate office, right? But you listen, they're just stomping around upstairs. You're like, "I didn't know they could run that fast." The whole house is quiet. My wife is off in our room doing something, and I'm just sitting in my office praying. See, I had a completely different message written at this point in my message. And I'm praying to God, "God, what is it? What is your heart for your people? You want to give them your spirit and equip them to be your witness everywhere, all the time. You want to equip them to walk in your power. So what is your heart for your people?" And I began to hear, "Hey, I want them to be connected to the cross." I'm like, "Well, God, that doesn't really go with my message title. I already have an idea, and I have a cool illustration, and I just want to do my thing. That doesn't really help me go where I'm going." And him and I start to wrestle. And at this point in my life, I've realized when I start to wrestle with God, I'm going to lose probably, you know? More than likely, he's a little bigger than I am. But I also realize that as I start to wrestle, he normally does something within me. He's trying to get me to see something from a different perspective than what I'm looking at it from. He's trying to open my eyes to an area of my heart and my life that I don't quite understand yet. So if you get nothing out of this message, it's okay, because God and I duked it out, and I'm good, and I preached to myself, so it was great. I don't know what you'll get, but I preached to myself, and I'm good. But this is where he went with me. What if we as a church were connected to the cross, not when we had problems, not when we needed wisdom, not when we wanted to touch the fringes of the Holy Spirit, but what if we were connected all the time? And then he got more forceful with me, and he said, "What if my people stopped using me as a spiritual battery charger?" Right? You go to bed at night, you plug in your cell phone, set it on the headboard. It's good to go the next day, right? You unplug it, you take it, and do what you need to do. Well, church, for me, and as a body of believers, we often treat God like a spiritual battery charger. God, I'm hurting today. I need you. I'm just down and out. That's not bad. It's not a bad thing to go to God when you're hurting. But what would it look like if rather than plugging in when we're down, we stay plugged in all the time? Right? We tether ourselves to the power that created the universe. We put in our lives things in our path that make sure that we turn back to Him every day, every second of every day. Rather than this plugging in only when we need it. Well, I'm going to go speak at a church this week, God. I just really need to get more in touch with you. No, I don't need to get more in touch with you. I need to stay in touch with you. I need to stay connected to you. See, because the kingdom of God happens where we live, work, and play. The kingdom of God doesn't happen here on a Sunday. As a matter of fact, this building isn't the church, but you are the church. And if we pray as a body for the lost and the hurting and the broken, and we pray to see God's kingdom move, and we pray for people to get saved, but we only plug into God when we're here on a Sunday, you will not see change. You will not see power in your life. You will not see the glory of God in your life. What if we pray bigger? I love that testimony. I don't know where she went, but I love the testimony from the midwife. That's powerful. To pray bigger. You know what the problem is we don't often stay connected long enough to hear God go, you're not asking for enough. You're not looking in the right direction. So what if we stopped using God as a spiritual battery charger? There is a cost to salvation, right? Salvation itself is free, but when you accept salvation, there's still a cost that we're supposed to pay. There's things that change in our life. Excuse me. I was really loud. There is a price, a spiritual price that we have to pay. See, salvation is a great covenant exchange. It's all of me for all of Him. I set down my life and I pick up His. He washes over me and cleanses me. But oftentimes we kind of treat salvation like Monopoly, right? It's our get out of jail free card. It's our we pick this up when we're down card. It's our go ahead and go around, go collect $200 card. But what if we were continually connected to Him? And here's what Scripture tells us about this. Luke 9, 23 through 26 says this. And He was saying to them all, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, this is the one who will save it. For what good does it do a person if he gains the whole world but loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Here's a problem that we face as a church culture in America. The cross is heavy. The burden of the cross in our lives is heavy. See, there are places that we go that you shouldn't bring the cross. Therefore, you just shouldn't go. There are places that we go that it's too cumbersome to bring the cross. How do you bring your cross into your workplace? How do you bring your cross into Market Basket 2020 COVID? How do you bring your cross to your family gatherings when they're unsaved? See, oftentimes, rather than focusing on how do we get it there, how do we show people our cross, what we do is we politely leave it at the door. God, you stay here. You take that burden and the nails and the blood and everything you sacrifice. I know you sacrificed that and I love you for it, but it doesn't fit where I'm headed. And it's not a conscious lie that we believe, but it's a lie that the church in America believes today. But we can't talk about church at work. We can't talk about what's going on in our lives or what God's doing in us with our unsaved family members. We can't talk about God with those people that we play baseball with. We can't talk about God, fill in the blank. And we very politely set the cross down and punt it. Because we don't want to bring that where we're headed. But there's a cost to salvation. And the cost is you are never supposed to set down the cross. It's supposed to go with you everywhere you go. It's supposed to shine where you go. You should look different where you go. There's power that comes from the cross, the empty cross. And we need to be connected to it regularly, constantly, and vigorously. It should be our pursuit in life to be connected to the cross. Because everything else God commands us to do will be fulfilled if we're connected to the cross. Your ear will be inclined to heaven to hear what he's telling you to do in different circumstances of your life if you're connected to the cross. How do we do it? John 15, 4 through 7. And you should read all of John 15. Just side note, read it for a couple days in a row. It's one of my favorite passages. But I took a small snippet here. Remain in me and I in you, just as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. No one can remain in me. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given for you. I love words, okay? I specifically in this passage love the word abide. I've lived in a few places. I lived with my parents. Technically it was my abode because I lived there for 20-something years. We had a house downtown, we lived there. But I bought a house 6 years ago, and we made it our house. Tore it down, we remodeled it, we built it stick by stick, we redid everything. I abide in that house. Let me tell you, if you try and come into my house and you're not welcome, there's no entry given to you, because I abide there, and I protect it viciously. If you try and hurt the people that I have welcomed into my house, I will hurt you. I abide in that place. I take residence there. I am fully present there. That's what Christ calls us to be in him, to abide with him, to make him our present home, to viciously protect it. When we invite others into our space, to protect them. See, I have friends that are not necessarily Christians, but when they abide with me in my space, because I'm carrying the cross, the things that they sense and feel in my house are much different than what they feel in the world. Because where I am, Christ is. There is no darkness within my house because I follow the Lord. I invite him into my house. My wife and I love having people over. And one of the coolest things that I love seeing is when we have people over, and sometimes they'll walk in the front door and they go, and I love it. I call it the deep sigh. I don't know how to describe it other than that, but they walk in, these unsaved people or people that are just burdened down by life, and maybe they're just getting started as Christians, and they walk in that, and you go, yeah, that's my God. He's in my house. We are called to abide with him everywhere, every day, always. And when we abide with him, whatever we ask shall be given to us. Not because we're going outside and saying, hey God, if you can make it 70 right now, that'd be great. It would be. Not because we're walking out the door and walking on water just because we are that close to God. No, because when we abide with God, we hear his voice. And we know when he's saying, hey, you should pray about this. Hey, you should ask me for this. You should speak to that neighbor. You should go to this place. We must be connected to the cross. And we must abide with the Father. Jesus touched on the principle of abiding in John 4:14 when he's talking to the woman at the well. I'm not going to read the whole story because I hope most of you know that. Pretty overused verse. But John 4:14 says this, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to eternal life." See, when we're connected to the cross, when we're abiding in him, when we're making him our ever-present home, we are filled with the life spring that flows from the Father. And that life spring should overflow from us to our neighbors, to those that we work with. It's not just for us that we stay connected to him. It's for the community that we live in, that we stay connected to him. We exist to glorify God. We cannot glorify God when we're doing our own thing. And it doesn't mean you can't go to work. Doesn't mean you can't have a house. Doesn't mean you can't go hang out with friends. As a matter of fact, sidebar, I believe that Christians don't spend enough time with Christians. Don't massacre me because I think you need to be evangelist too. But I believe that Christians often don't spend time with spiritually mature Christians that sharpen each other. We often spend time with people that like the same activities as us. That's great. But I'll tell you what, part of carrying the cross and part of abiding in him is making sure that we spend enough time with people that push us to be better. Right? Daryl hears the Spirit differently than I hear the Spirit. And he'll see the edges on me that have been dulled and be able to call me out and tell me, hey, maybe you should fix this area of your life. And vice versa. You need mature Christian fellowship, not a Sunday morning, but around your coffee table, around your dinner table, coffee with a friend. I have a friend from, 13, 14, 15 years ago now. Nope, longer. Okay, I'm getting too old. Until we had kids, we had coffee together once a week, every single week, and that was the focus of our relationship. We like the same things. We like to shoot guns. We like to go out and be outdoors. We like to have campfires to grill on the grill. Him and his wife and his kids, and me and my wife and my kids, almost never spend any time together. But we are active in pursuing a relationship that pushes us to be closer to Christ. And as we both had more kids and more kids and more work, we still pursue that relationship. It's not as frequent, but it is just as deep, if not deeper, because we pick up where we left off. What's going on in your life? Where are you? What is God saying to you? What are you doing? He does sermon series designs for another church, and we'll get together and we'll talk about what we're hearing God say and where we're going. I talked through this message with him, and he gave me some really good insight into this message. We need spiritually mature Christian friends. And it needs to be a priority in our life to be connected to one another. Because I'll tell you what, you have a job, you have kids, you have family, you have friends, you have things that you have to do that are outside the kingdom. And to be able to weather the storm, to take your cross where you live, work, and play, you also need a place that will tell you that cross is good for you. That burden, yeah, it's a burden, but because he's carrying it with you, it's lighter. You need people around you that will encourage you. Well, I'm preaching myself happy. Mark 16:17-18 says this. "These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." I don't see it. I don't see it in the church today. No snakes. Nope. TNT was made for snakes. It's my one fear in life. Golly. You got me right off my game with that.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's woo. I just don't see it in the church today. I don't think that we even believe that we can be there. But the power of the cross and the resurrection power that brought Christ out of the grave is available to us. It says that he shall give it to us, and we shall go do that. Hey, in legal terms, shall means it's not a maybe, it's not a if you would like to. You will do this or you'll be indicted. Christ is very strong in the words that he chose. We should be seeing this in our church. We should be seeing this in America. Rather than the news reporting on COVID, it should be saying, oh, look, another dead person rose. Oh, look, this lame person is walking again. Oh, look, we cured COVID. We cannot ever get to this place until we learn to stay connected to the cross. Until we take the cross with us where we live, work, and play. We cannot be ashamed of Christ and the message that he has in our life if we think that we're going to walk in his power. It doesn't work. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be a boastful braggart. It doesn't mean that you have to demolish a conversation with Christ, right? There are some practical ways. Next slide. So let's kiss. Now, I had to shorten this up, right? Keep it simple. Really should be keep it simple stupid, but I figured, oh, it's a church. Maybe we'll take stupid off. It's a naughty word. My kids tell me that anyways. That's my son said, you can't say stupid. I think I can. So I just took the S off, and I'm going to throw it out there anyways. We need to keep it simple. So we hear messages like this. We maybe feel conviction to grow, to do better, to hold our cross more regularly, to connect with people. What does that mean? How do we apply that and move forward in our life in application? See, it's not enough just to hear a good message. It's not enough to let God convict you. But how do we move forward? Well, oftentimes we way overcomplicate it. Hey, I am not going to be a good Christian unless I pick up my Bible. I'm going to read it twice a day now. From now on, I'm going to pray for 4 hours a day, and I'm going to lead my family in devotions at dinner every night. Like we decide on these arbitrary markers that are what we must do to be there. That's not it. That's not it. An ever-present love of Christ and an inviting spirit into your day-to-day is what it takes. It doesn't take literally dragging a wooden cross so that people make sure that they know that you're Christians. It doesn't mean you carry your Bible everywhere, although it's on everybody's phone now. It doesn't mean that. It means an ever-present focus on God. My ear is always one inclined to heaven and one inclined to what I'm doing. That's the simplest way that I can describe it to you, that you are connecting with him. You're staying connected to the cross. You put your heart in a place where it's okay if he interrupts you. Even if you're up on a ladder, hanging on with one leg, trying to nail a nail on the side of a building, it's okay if he chooses then to interrupt you. Even if you're in the middle of a conference call with all your bosses and managers, it's okay if then he wants to interrupt you. Because God is, there's this funny thing, he's kind of a gentleman, and he doesn't normally interrupt you if it's not pertinent to what you're doing. So I trust my God to interrupt me when he needs to interrupt me. And when he doesn't, I still walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 25 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If they live by the Spirit, let them also walk by the Spirit. How do you know that you're staying connected to the cross every moment of every day? How do you know you're abiding with him? Because the fruits of the Spirit follow you. And if they're not necessarily present and you're going, man, I don't feel love, I don't feel joy, I don't feel peace. I've been in a lot of places that are full of tension. And I don't feel love and peace. But if I actually use my eyes to look around the room, I realize that the tension level's coming down. Well, I don't feel it yet because I'm used to it way down here. But the Holy Spirit is still working in that place to bring the tension level down. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's what you should be.
We're supposed to be the love, the joy, the peace, patience, kindness.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. It's your spirit. Where we go, the Spirit of God is. When you have that great covenant exchange, all of me for all of him, right? Then we are bringing him wherever we go. And these things should follow us. It's not always about our feelings, but it's about what's presently happening. What are you bringing to a situation, even if you feel stressed? I feel drained after being in strenuous situations. Even if the level is coming down, I'm like, wow, God is definitely there. I feel drained. You know why? Because his power is flowing to me like the woman with the issue of blood, right? Jesus went, whoa, hey, I felt power leave me. When you get tapped on in some of those situations and you're praying peace and joy and restoration into something, you can feel when you go, oh, I need to go home. I need a nap. I need to connect with some worship music. I need to do something. Because you can feel the draw. Because this world doesn't have what we have. What's a very practical way that we practice connecting to the cross? Daryl, could you hand out the elements? Communion in the church in America. I never feel like I'm judging you when I say the church. I don't mean this church. I just mean the church. Communion in America has been grossly abused. We do it the first Sunday of the month. My church does it the third Sunday of the month. And we read this special scripture verse and we talk about Christ's sacrifice and we just do this event. And we don't often pause for the severity of what we're doing. Some of my favorite times in communion, I used to run a youth ministry in Manchester, and after everybody's gone, it's just me and my staff left, six or seven of us, we would go into the kitchen and we would take communion together. I'll tell you what, after having 100 kids, teenagers in a building for 3 or 4 hours, you are drained, both spiritually and physically. And the staff that was helping with this group, we would have communion together. And it was life-giving to share in the fellowship and the recognition of what Christ's blood conquered for us. We don't often pause long enough to not treat this like a ritual. So my favorite times of communion are actually not in a church. My favorite times of communion are communion around my dinner table with my friends, are communion with my staff in a closet or church kitchen. What would it look like as we learn to grow in Christ and stay connected with him if as we focus on having deep spiritual friendships, we engage in communion with those friends? We engage in drawing people back to the cross. I feel like it's only right to actually read the communion scripture out of the Bible. Can we just turn off the slides and turn down the lights? Now I'm asking a lot. If you have some music, set the ambiance. Just as we prepare our hearts for communion, just close your eyes. Look towards heaven. This is what the scripture says about communion in 1 Corinthians. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup and after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my body. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Church, we've lost this idea of as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. Communion is not just about recognition of once a month as a body of believers. Communion is recognition of Christ's sacrifice on the cross regularly, every single day, as often as you eat bread and drink this cup. When you stop to eat, when you stop to add nutrients to your body, remember the sacrifice that Christ paid for you. Remember the power that we can walk in. Just as your body is physically renewed by food, let your spiritual body be renewed by His presence. Pause. We've turned this into these cheesy praying over dinner prayers. Bless this food to our bodies and the hands that prepared it. And we forget about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Us will ever know until we're dead. The only person to ever live and to feel God turn His back on him was Christ. He walked through that which we can never walk through, because the Spirit is always yearning to our spirit to come to the Lord. He poured out His blood for us. Let us not kick His cross to the side, but let us take it in power. Thank you.
Christ, this warning that I felt that we need to be more connected with each other for the purpose of spiritual maturity and sharpening. God, I pray that that will go down deep into our heart, and Father, that you'll begin to just bring up the things that you want to bring up. God, I pray that you'll connect us so closely in the vine, Lord, in the days, the weeks ahead, Lord, where it's not about us doing anything else. It's just simplifying and saying, yes, we need it. Lord, make us really good at hearing your voice, and make us really good at ignoring the voice of the stranger. Today, I give up my right to decide. Abide in you as you have abided in us. Thank you, Spirit of God. Could I open up the mic? If there's anyone who feels like a quick 1 or 2 minute prayers on this subject, maybe it's time to repent, or maybe it's time to turn over, or maybe it's just time to echo what you've heard. But I just feel like there's a real collaborative thing that the Lord always wants to do among us, and please keep it pertinent to this and not, you know, any tangents. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Well, Lord, I pray that up, we can glorify your name, and we go to bed praising your name. Thank you, Lord.
I feel like I just wanted to share something. I feel like a lot of times we, I know myself as Christians, like gets kind of stuck at the cross and forget to move. So, for example, like we stay at the cross and think about our shortcomings and start to feel guilt, and then shame creeps in. And it's just, the message today is just so important to remember that we're called to not stay there, that we're called to get up and to go. And it takes a lot of mind work. It takes a lot of, when that shame comes in, to say, no, that's not of God, and to take on the fruit of the Spirit. And it's, like the pastor shared, it's a daily choice, daily decision.
I've had almost the same idea, but I didn't raise my hand. There's a part of the church that asks us to camp out at the foot of the crucifixion, to moan and groan about what rotten people we are, But what Nate has asked us to do is to stay connected to the empty cross. He's freed us from that sin. Oh yeah, we do things. Okay. But filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing the love of Jesus for us to flow through us into other people, we become vehicles of freedom. So don't camp out at the foot of the cross. Stay connected and get up and go.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God.
During the sermon today, God kind of pointed out one verse. I didn't know really what it was, but like I knew what it said. It's Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. It kind of just goes back to what he was saying, as we need to come together and sharpen each other and build each other up and find someone who's more spiritually mature to build each other up, to sharpen someone who is dull, to sharpen those dull edges, that we've used so often that it just dulls us down. So in order to sharpen ourselves, we need to find someone who is sharper than us to sharpen us. So I just felt like that the Lord was really calling me and telling me to share that with everyone. So
amen. Yeah. Sometimes we're not always better or worse, right? We just sharpen each other with strengths. Amen.
On the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." That's for us to go forward and take everything that he's given us to do, like we've heard this morning. We need to do that more often. Step out of our comfort zone, because it's for him. It's a battle. And it's a battle of spirits, you know, that we need to raise the Lord up in and to defeat the enemy.
Amen. Sounds windy.
I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but I I felt so convicted that God was saying, like, there's places that I've left the cross when I go, and I can see some of those places, like my in-laws' house. They don't know God, and I've done it in the name of not wanting to be offensive, and I've done it in the name of things that I thought were commendable, in order to not hurt or not force. And I think that there's probably other people that can see places in their life where they've left the cross. And if you feel like I do, then you might feel like, God, I don't know what it looks like to not leave the cross when I go there. But God, just like Nate and just like Daryl said, it's not that you're looking for us to come up with the answer of how that changes, but would you make us aware the next time we walk to those places, when we walk in those places, just saying, God, I don't know how to do this, but I'm not leaving it here. I'm walking through. I'm taking you with me, God. I'm not going to bring in and be forceful or be hateful or anything like that, but I am not going to stop being who I am out of fear or out of just habit or out of just worry or fear of what someone else is going to think about me. But God, help us, help our weakness to just take you with us everywhere and know that you're the one that's doing the work. You're the one that's preparing the hearts. You're the one that has the power to save and the power to change the heart of a king and the power to change our hearts and the way we change our expectations of what you can do. What you're able to do. So thank you, God, for growing us up in these areas. Thank you, God.
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Well, God, we hear. Oh, all right. You have final word.
Just thinking about how many areas of the Bible it talks about not looking back, because we know of several people in the Bible that looked back and went to a pillar of salt, right? Or the woman at the well says to go and sin no more. And that reminds me that when we're at the cross, we're not supposed to look back. We're supposed to keep the cross between us. And I kept sitting here thinking, like Pastor Nate's message lines up with the inner healing. And many of you know this prayer that we do and that we lead you through and give to you to continue is that I put the cross of Jesus Christ between me and you. Name off what it is that you need to put the cross between, because he's the one that needs to be between you. He's the one that's going to guide you. So we need to put the cross between what is unholy, what is unhealthy for us, and that thing or that person. So I just pray that we're able to put the cross there, to send back all of the sins, the warfare, the brokenness of the person that we have a conflict with or the thing that we're dealing with, asking the cross to be placed and that Jesus deal with them, that we pray into that, and that we ask the Lord to only give us his love, his cross, his bond of the Holy Spirit, so that we continue to walk forward knowing that he's fighting the battle for us. And so, Father, I just pray that today that each and every one of us can stand up and with great authority speak out against what is coming towards us and put the cross there and ask for your spirit to speak out and not your flesh. Father, I also pray that each and every one of us can stand up and be the mentor that we need to be to a mentee. Lord, that we do not shy back, that we do not be feeling inadequate, but that your strength comes through us, your guidance, your wisdom, your knowledge, and that each and every one of us pray for that. That our spirit, your spirit that lives in us, will come alive. That we can step forward and be the mentor that you want us to be towards someone in need, towards a younger one. Lord, align them up, because we know that you can do the impossible, that's not possible for us, but it's always possible for you. And so we ask you right now just to lay on the hearts here of those who need to step up, who those that need the mentoring, and for the mentors to know that it's your strength, your knowledge, that you give them to walk it out. We thank you for your cross. We thank you for what your son has done. That is the crossroad right there. We lay it all down and we look forward, not backwards. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Yeah. Well, we hear your voice, God. We know what you're saying. We've got the theme. And Lord, we look forward to walking it out with you this week. And as you speak, we'll follow, God. We're excited to hear your voice. Bring us into intimacy, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give Pastor Nate a hand for coming. We really appreciate you. And if anybody would like to come for prayer, please come on up and we'll pray with you. Otherwise, be warm and well-fed. You are dismissed. We'll see you guys.